was ready to get ready to come to church and read the book of Colossians, and you see that we are complete in Him. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship that the believer has with the Savior is that of just like a marriage is. The marriage is a blueprint both of the Savior and the body of Christ, our head of the church. We are His bride, and we see that perfect blueprint. Just as God looked down and said that it was not good for man to be alone, He said, let us make woman to complete Him. Amen and amen. And we are complete today in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. Before we get into the sermon this morning, I just let you guys know, Miss Glennis Ford went home to be with the Lord last Monday, a week tomorrow. She was steadily going down. Fairly quick, was able to see her just before it happened, and then Daisy let me know later on that afternoon on Monday. She let me know that she had passed away. Her funeral is going to be on the 14th of March, and I'll have the details of that for everyone. They've asked me to conduct the funeral, and I'm more than happy to do so. Please be in prayer for that. And I'm not aware that she has any family around at all. She doesn't, does she? So I would ask you to pray for the family, but we don't think she has any family. But I will say this, guys, she was saved in 1933, the age of 11, amen, right up there in Aberdare. And I tell you what, she's led a long life in the Lord, amen. And all that pain that she had prior to last Monday is all gone now as she's in the arms of our Savior. Praise the Lord. All right, as we move forward in our sermon series this morning, our sermon series for this year, beginning in January, is what I've titled Mindset. It's been our Mindset Sunday sermon series, and I want to continue as we focus on having a renewed mind. So if you'll take your Bibles out and turn to Romans in chapter 12 with me, Romans in chapter 12, and I originally had up on the screen, I think, just verse 2, but we're going to read verses 1 and 2, which is the theme verse for this series. If you're willing and able to today, I'll ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God, looking in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Begin with me in verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father in heaven, again we come before you and we bow our hearts before the throne of God. We ask you, Lord, to reach deep and wide into our souls today. Touch our hearts, dear God, that we may not only draw closer to you, but Father, I pray, if we find our way lacking, or if we've come short in any way, in any measure, Lord, from the words that we are going to preach today, and that which has been said over the past many weeks, I pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear Lord, make those corrections. Help us develop that disciplined mind, dear God. Help us make those needful decisions in our life, Lord, so that we may have a renewed mind, that we may be transformed, dear God, that we may be able to prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God, Father. So help us today, we pray. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. And we ask these things in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. Beloved, the renewed mind comes only by way of the Word of God. The Word of God is essential in our lives. It is essential in our Christian life. The Word of God is our sole authority for faith and practice. When you decide to do something or not do something, it should be through the other writings of the Holy Scripture that God has so inspired and preserved and purified and perfected and given to us today in what we have just before us in our Bible. Amen. And so when we begin to look at our lives and learning and loving and living the Word of God daily, Our thinking process becomes the key. How we think and what we think about becomes the key in developing the character of a Bible-believing Christian. The decisions we make are filtered through God's Word. The things that we adjust our life to are looked through the lens of the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Beloved, even when we think that we are something, when we are nothing, doesn't change who we are, but it does change the character and the actions and the attitudes that we have in our life by our process of thought. Stephen Covey says, "So a thought reap an action, so an action reap a habit, so a habit reap a character, so a character reap a destiny." Beloved, who and what you are going to be tomorrow is determined of how you think today. You can't sit back and say it's just going to happen by accident, because it does not happen by accident. Our life must be willful changes, must be willful alterations, must be a willful motivation, if you will, influenced by the precious and perfect Word of God, so that we can have a mindset of discipline, a mindset that we need in this life. So, we've seen in the first section of the series, we saw that mindset of discipline and what it requires to have and to continue in such a mindset in our life. We saw 7 weeks of the discipline mindset. In our second section, which is part 3 today, the final section, in this particular series, is titled Decisions. And we're looking at 3 decisions that a person must make in their life. 3 decisions that a person must make. Now, a decision is defined as a conclusion or resolution reached after consideration. A conclusion reached after consideration. The first decision that you must make is to set the bar. Having a disciplined mind will naturally lead someone to lifting up the standard, to set the bar in their life. And set that bar, I hope and pray, above what mediocre standards would be in those that may be around us. Bringing us to our second phase in the decision process is simply to be better. Just to be better. This was last week's topic, and we're encouraged to just be better than we were before. Outworking yesterday, if you will. Being better than last month, last year, even better than last week, my friend. It will require work, but as I've said multiple times throughout this series, anything worth doing in this life is always going to require labor. So the third and final decision that we must be willing to make as we strive to be better by setting the bar to biblical standards. And beloved, we must decide to blame not. We must decide in our life to blame not. Now, here's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. We live in a world today that is giving over to casting blame. As a matter of fact, it is nothing new. This has been the issue since the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." This is the character in the flesh of mankind, which naturally searches out to cast blame on others. Now, mind you, beloved, Eve was actually telling the truth. She was tricked, she was deceived, she was beguiled. But old Adam was not only blaming his wife, but really, ultimately, he was blaming God. "It's the woman that thou gavest me. If you wouldn't have given her to me, I wouldn't have eaten of that tree." And that's just simply not true. He knew that he wasn't to take of that tree. He knew it, and by willing transgression set the fall of man into action. Society has ran with this notion of blaming others for decades upon decades. It's only gotten worse in the last 50 years. But our world today, and listen carefully to me this morning, our world today has ran with this notion by developing new pseudo-diagnoses in droves. Now, I call them pseudo-diagnoses. I believe the majority of the modern-day diagnoses that young children and adults are being labeled with today are nothing more than a facade or an excuse for people not to take the responsibility that they need. You say, "Preacher, that's kind of harsh. How can you know this?" Beloved, I just know it by simple practice. I know it by the education that I have. I know it by the simple fact that I can look and see what used to be just flat out criminal today says, well, they just need help. No, they need to be criminalized for committing a crime is what they need to do. Everything doesn't deserve a label, and everyone doesn't deserve a diagnosis when they do something wrong. Amen and amen. Children grow up blaming their parents. Parents blame the schools. The schools blame the government. The government blames the different political parties. And around we go in this vicious circle, blaming others for our mistakes. Beloved, the reality is, yes, children are at fault. Yes, parents are at fault. Yes, schools are at fault. Yes, the government is at fault. Yes, the political parties are at fault. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a flawed society today. Our world is not perfect. So everyone is at fault. Therefore, we have to make the decision to pull the pin and blame not everyone and anything in the world that moves for our personal shortcomings. If you got a bad attitude, it's your fault. Suck it up, buttercup. Amen? I'm just here to tell you if these are the things that we need to understand that we should not continually to blame not in our society. We've used this verse throughout this entire series on decisions that I'm going to read from you now. But you can read it from the screen. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before." Beloved, the mighty Apostle Paul, and I realize, guys, that I have a tendency, it may seem like I'm placing him up on a pedestal, but the mighty Apostle Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." You know, one of the greatest detriments in our society today is extra baggage in our life. We can't avoid it. It's there. It's a problem because we're sinful people. A believer does not automatically get a life made of a bed of roses. You don't come down to the altar and get saved and born again of the blood of Christ and all of a sudden your life is just absolutely perfect. It doesn't happen like that. But when the Lord enters into a person's life, they now have Him to depend on in the midst of ever-growing thorns in our daily living. Beloved, you need to take advantage of that this morning. You need to take advantage of that in your life. Paul is found in a multitude of precarious situations, circumstances which was brought into his life great pain and great sorrow and great loss. And from the beatings and the stonings and the shipwreck and the hunger and all of the things that he experienced, man, this apostle to the Gentiles saw it all. I mean, have you ever wondered why was Paul so great? I mean, why did demons forsake him? And why did these people leave him? And why did this person fall off? Why did John Mark, why was he unable to cut the mustard in the very first mission journey? And he went home to mama, but later on found to serve the Lord. Why was Barnabas finally settled in Cyprus in his homeland, never to be heard of in the pages of Scripture again? And yet Paul continually, steadfastly, for all these years, served God. How did he become the greatest preacher outside of Jesus Christ? I mean, how did he become the most fruit-bearing missionary of all of the New Testament age to date? How was Paul able to provide the instructions for pastors like he did? Well, the answer is simple. This one thing. This one thing I do. Whatever the task may be. The Apostle Paul was able to present his body a living sacrifice to become the greatest church planting missionary in history because he purposed within his heart that this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, beloved, the choice is ours today. We can continue to hold to our problems and our pain and our predicaments of the past, or we can forget them and we can press toward the mark. But I can tell you this, you'll never be able to do both. You're never going to be able to hold to that which used to be and reach forth into that which is to be. The reality is that we cannot do one thing about what happened yesterday. Beloved, I mean, this morning, you can't change what happened this morning on the way to church. Matter of fact, you can't change what happened just a second ago. Watch this. Here comes, there it went. That second just came and went, and you couldn't do anything about it, could you? Couldn't change it? Here, and there went another one. You see? You can't do anything about it. The only thing that we can do, the only thing we can do is prepare and perform for what is in front of us. That which is right here and right now. And it is the decisions that we make today which will establish tomorrow. Look in verse 2 with me there in Romans chapter 12. And this will be our theme, if you will, for the next three subpoints this morning under this idea of blame not. Notice what Paul says in verse 2. He says, "And be not conformed to this world." Watch this. "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Beloved, the word transformed is defined as to make a marked change in the form, nature, or appearance. Therefore, we must be transformed in lust in this life. We must make a decision to blame not. Beloved, what, even if it's legitimately someone else's fault, what we do with the issue, what we do with the problem, what we do with the outcome, is our decision. It's our choice. So when we decide to blame not, beloved, number one, we are enabled to be transformed, thus giving us protection. Giving us protection. When we look back at the past, when we hold to what has happened, we allow the weight of someone else's decision to dictate the direction of our own. It's our choice for change. It is our choice to change. It is our choice and our decision that we must make. And most often we equate forgetting the past or leaving the things behind when it only applies to the negative. But what about forgetting those things which are positive? I mean, praise the Lord if you're the greatest salesman in all of Wales, and praise the Lord if you're the best athlete in the country. Those things are great and wonderful. Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." You see, even though things were negative and you want to forget those things, but there's also positive things in our life. If we want the protection for going forth in the future, there's positive things of the past that we got to let go as well. Paul said this unto the Ephesian church. He says, "And that ye put on the new man, which is after God, and is created in righteousness and true holiness." The new man. It means the old man has to be put away with. He said to the church, to the Colossian church, he says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Beloved, there's nothing wrong with being good at what you do. Matter of fact, I think you should be the best you that you can be. I think you, whatever you're trying to do, whether it's the military, whether it's in sales, or whether it's in school, whether it's athletics, I think you need to be the best at it as you can be. I think settling for second best and settling for mediocrity in the world today, I think it's a plague that has hindered the majority of our youth of excelling in our days today. I think you need to be the best that you can. But just because you were the best yesterday doesn't mean you're going to be the best tomorrow. And you got to let go of what used to be and decide on what will be. There's nothing wrong with it. We just need to remember that our confidence, our dependence, our trust must reside in the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." From the wealthiest man on the earth to the poorest laborer in the world, whatsoever you do, due to the glory of God. So on the heels of this verse here that you just read, let's look at the next point here. When you make the decision to blame not, you're not only finding protection, but you're given the ability to have power. Everybody wants some type of power in their life. I mean, in other words, you are taking responsibility for your actions. Read Galatians 6 with me from above on the screen. Galatians 6, 2 through 4 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceive himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another." I mean, beloved, we are accountable for our choices. We are responsible for the decisions that we make and the effort we place in those decisions. And I'll be the first one to admit, guys, life is difficult. I'll be the very first one to admit to you today, life is hard. Life is tough. There are struggles in this world today that really and truly were only imaginable 10, 15 years ago. I just read this morning some of the atrocities that go on in this world. And 17-year-old girl was stabbed to death in East London this morning, or late last night sometime. So, beloved, if you focus primarily on the negative, you'll have a pretty dismal outlook of this life. But it's no different than if we focus primarily on the positive. You'll have a delusional outlook. You'll have an outlook on this life that's not reality. There's a balance that you must have. And the decision must be made to take responsibility for your own actions, not the actions of others. The responsibility in this life, we must make a decision to stop blaming those around us and even the world we live in today for our own reactions and actions. If life is hard because of the world, beloved, then it's hard for everyone. Not just me, not just you. Beloved, Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind." He said, "Be sober in hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus." Gird up the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Pull them up, man. Gird them up together. Be sober, be vigilant, if you will. Hope unto the end of grace. You see, my friend, we have to take responsibility for who and what we are. I don't have to take responsibility for what someone in the streets of Germany are. I've got to take responsibility for my own actions, and I've got to take responsibility. I'm given that power today to take responsibility for those that are around me in serving others and loving others. It's my decision. So lastly this morning, when we make the decision to blame not, we're given protection. When we make the decision to blame not, we are given power, meaning we're taking responsibility. But it sets us in motion to press forward. To press forward. Beloved, to press means to exert continuous pressure physically upon something. To exert continual pressure. You know what that means, my friend? That means that if we're going to press forward in this life, no matter what or where we are in our days, we've got to keep moving. We've got to keep moving. We've got to continue to grow, continue to pray, continue to read, continue to serve, continue to be in the house of God when the doors are open, continue to do the right thing before the eyes of God, continue to make daily decisions to please Him so that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Go back to the Apostle Paul again. How he became the greatest preacher on the planet. How he became the greatest man to plant churches in all of these days, because he diligently surrendered himself to the will of God. And in doing so, millions upon millions upon millions of souls were saved, blood bought by the Holy Spirit of God. He didn't allow his circumstances to define him. He didn't allow his situations to dictate him, but rather he said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." He's reaching forth into those things which are before. I see often so many times that people allow their current situation to define who they are. Maybe it's their society they live in. Maybe it's the village they dwell in. Maybe it's the family they came from. I don't know. But they allow the circumstances and the situations of their current state to dictate their every move. And my friend, I must tell you this. You need to press forward. Now, mind you, if you're in a family that's pressing forward, if you're in a village that's pressing forward, if you're in a church, and I will say that you are, that's pressing forward, that doesn't mean you jump ship just for GP. GP means general principle, just to do it. What it means is you get in there and you press and you keep pressing and you keep exerting that energy forward, moving forward steadfastly so that your life may be different. Paul was ever pressing forward. whether he was in a ship on another, heading to another land, whether he was on foot moving to the next village, or whether he was in a prison cell writing a letter, or whether he was on his knees praying, we must press forward. These are our decisions. To blame not. To be better. To set the bar higher than those around us. I want to close the story about a college football player who went on to the NFL to play ball. He played during my era. His name was Charles Johnson. He played for Colorado, University of Colorado. He was a wide receiver, and he was a first-round draft pick in the NFL. This is back in 1993, way back when, right? You know, when half of you guys wasn't born. He was known as CJ, and he was the receiving end of what I called a dynamic duel between him and a guy named Cordell Stewart. Cordell Stewart went on to be the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers for several years. CJ spent 8 years in the NFL, but he set NCAA, which is collegiate college, just before he went to the NFL. He set NCAA records at the University of Colorado. In the 1993 season, and I watched this as it was on telly, I saw it on the highlights, I'm sorry, but in the 1993 season, he had one of the most dramatic receptions seen to date. He had size, he had speed, he had hands, and he had talent. But with all of the sophisticated tests, all of the tests of the combine that the NFL does, and all the equipment to measure a player's ability, to measure their character, one thing they're lacking. They do not have something to measure a man's character, heart, drive, or even determination. They don't even have a device to measure an athlete's decisions. If the teams did, Charles Johnson would have been off the scale. Now, one reporter said this, and I'm going to read it verbatim as he wrote it in his article. He said, "It's not because of where Johnson is at this point, but how he arrived here that makes him extraordinary. If one were to write the story of Johnson's life, it would be equal parts Boys in the Hood and Horatio Alger. Too many places, no home. His father left the home when he was 2 years old. While growing up in San Bernardino, California, Johnson's mother battled a cocaine addiction, leaving him with his younger sister, Christine, drifting from place to place. And from the time he was in the eighth grade until a junior in high school, he lived in 16 different places with an assortment of relatives and friends and in welfare hotels. Overwhelmed by it all, during his sophomore year at Cajun High School, Johnson attempted suicide by swallowing a handful of pills. But Johnson, at 22, survived it all, became a high school All-American football player and a member of the academic All-Big Eight Conference at Colorado." I'm going to pause. He wasn't 22 when he finished high school. He was 22 when he finished college or university. And he graduated from the University of Colorado in 3 years with a bachelor's degree in marketing. "So many kids use the cop-out that I'm black, I am from a broken home, I'm from a bad neighborhood, and they do nothing with their lives," said Jerry Buckner, who took Johnson into her home in 1989 and whom Johnson now calls his mother. She said, "But Charles took all those things and just inverted them. And I don't know how he did it," she said. She finished saying, "But he did." The reporter goes on to say this, and I close. "He doesn't dwell on his past, and he reluctantly talks about it. Looking back doesn't do me any good because there's nothing there," CJ said. "I'm more interested in what is happening now and what's going to happen in the future." Beloved, these are decisions. These are the decisions that we make. These are the decisions that we are to make in our life. They're ours to make. A decision to set the bar. A decision to be better. And finally, a decision to blame not. These three decisions are what is ever developing the renewed mind, given us the mindset of a Christian, so that we may press forward, that we may onward move to that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for who and what you are. And we thank you for the message we've received today. And we pray that you would allow it to sink inside of our heart and our mind. And my hope and my prayer is that the thoughts and direction of this entire series would not be soon forgotten, but diligently applied. But Lord, I pray especially over these last three sermons, the topic of decision within this mindset, Father. I pray that they would be indelibly written in our hearts and our souls. But Father, when we are faced with a choice to make in this world, that we would make the decision to glorify you. So Lord, I come before you and I surrender all of it to you. It's in your hands now to do with it what you may. I pray that you touch your people. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. I do hope and pray God was good to you through the preaching and teaching of His Word this morning.